The fried egg requires a different technique. What you need to do is actually square the face so it'll dig down underneath that bad lie and propel that ball right out onto the green.
Here's the thing. Playing out of a buried lie in a bunker is completely different than playing out of a nice, clean lie in a greenside bunker.
You need to be aggressive on any shot, whether it's sitting cleanly or it's a fried egg.
Well, we've all faced it, the dreaded fried egg. It's not to be feared, though. It's actually a pretty easy shot to hit.
Got jammed by Brendan last night at the Harbor Bar.
What did he do?
We were trying to leave, go to bed. I mean, no one's gotten any sleep on this trip. And just asked the bartender for another round before we could get out the door.
Showed up to the bar late.
Yeah.
Insisted. It showed up to the bar 2 pints late.
Sure.
2 pints late to the bar, and then just jams us with an extra pint. Well, all three of us outside of Brendan were in lockstep.
Yeah.
About not getting another pint. Brendan gets another pint from the great Bomber.
Bomber.
Bomber the bartender.
Bomber knows everybody, I think.
What a character.
Yeah. Great guy.
Chatty and Terry Eady, bartender at the Harbor Bar. What a
character. Terry Eady, Kings Barnes.
I love
you guys. You guys are being soft Californians. I asked for an extra pint of, it's like basically warm milk Guinness at this point. You guys are just trying to put me in a blunder here. It was one extra pint.
I mean, it was one extra pint too many.
Working, writing. Check out my guide to newscast.
Didn't he sleep in one morning when we were shooting? Didn't he sleep in? So he's operating just a little bit more.
He did, but he also bought us breakfast.
I was up before you guys went out. I was like 30 minutes behind you. Then I went out and fetched everyone coffees and breakfast. Like a good little errand boy while you guys were shooting. So you guys are just, you're really overdoing it. Like I completely ruined the trip asking for an extra round of Guinness.
It was close. Listen, we woke up this morning. It was despair around here. Everybody was hungover. And we lucked on this wonderful.
No one was hungover. That is such an exaggeration. No, if you had a hangover, what'd you have?
I was shocked.
I think it was a mixture of pure fatigue. Okay. Pure fatigue and having one too many drinks. Everybody knows when they had one too many. And you missed the first two because you were dilly-dallying about. You're just dilly-dally, willy-nilly, writing up a little profile. You're writing up to doing all these edits, you know?
Our hard reservations don't apply to Brendan.
That's right. He can just show up late. So you missed the first 2 pints and then tried to jam us with an extra one. But anyways, we're not talking about this. We'll talk about Port Rush and the nightlife another time. We are talking about the Ansley Links at Royal County Down. This is the Explorations podcast, a Frydeck podcast. Big thanks to just the hospitality of Northern Ireland in general. The Ansley Links at Royal County Down. A lot of people refer to this as the wee course. Personally, I wish Americans used the term wee more often. I think it's a vastly underutilized term. I might start to bring it into my own lexicon on a regular basis. I don't think there's anything really wee about this course from a golf course perspective outside of its diminutive 4,500 yardage. I don't think there's anything wee about it. I don't think anybody that goes to Northern Ireland should skip this golf course. I think it should be like a bona fide must play. I'll go as far and say that it is the greatest short course that I have ever played, and it's not really even close. And we can get more into that. Cameron, outside, you know, if you're able to, I know that you had one too many pints last night, and that's Brendan's fault. If you are able to recall that far back with the brain fog you might be going through, what would be the thing that stood out to you most, or the thing that you will, when you think about that golf course, you'll think about the most?
Well, firstly, I'd say, we played it in, I mean, it was the worst weather we've played in so far on the trip. And I think if I didn't know going in that the course was only 4,500 yards and someone asked me how long I thought it was, I probably would think it was a lot longer.
It felt like it was like 6,000 at least.
The second hole is 400 yards and most of us hit hybrid wedge, I think, into that hole.
Real quick table setter. We decided to have a little fun. We played five clubs. Everybody chose a putter, so we had four clubs. And we played a skins game with stymies.
Correct.
So that's why everybody went hybrid.
That's true, yeah. I mean, my driver's not been cooperating anyway. But just to say, it was playing quite long with the breeze. I mean, I think the thing that stood out to me the most was just how amazing the contours were, like in the ground. They're pretty wild, just sort of like rippling fairways that play. You sort of play a lot of it along this like central ridge that sits above some of the back nine holes on the big course.
A lot of it's above the 13th on the big course, which Matt in an early episode called Gorse Valley. It's a hole that kind of sits down, and these holes kind of play along the ridge that hole sits under, and it's kind of intertwined in that stretch of golf, that early part of the back nine.
Yeah, and I think because the holes are not super long, they're able to put these sort of shortish par fours that play right along the edge, like four and five. I mean, you're literally just, the fairway is just sort of cut along this sort of like embankment on the right that cuts in and out, where, you know, bigger holes, I guess, probably wouldn't be able to fit. I mean, it's wild ground. The greens are, I mean, arguably more interesting, I'd say, than the big course. They're smaller, but there's a lot more internal contour as well in the greens out there.
Yeah, it's amazing. So many of those greens stand out. It's great because they contrast so much with the big course.
Yeah.
In the sense of like they're very small. You have short yardages into a lot of these holes, but they are very small targets that are very scary, especially when the wind is up.
Yeah. And I think the fun thing is, you know, they're sort of, like I said earlier, they're shorter par fours, but it's sort of like the strategy shrinks a bit where your window for like getting a good angle into the green is much smaller and you're hitting, you know, five iron or 3 wood or whatever. And even with a wedge, like you really want to find the correct angles into these greens because, yeah, they're pitched and they're small and, they're super fun.
Brendan, what would be the thing that you'll take away most from this golf course?
It was maybe the most fun we've had on this trip in the absolute worst weather. And that's not to say it was the best course and we didn't have fun at Royal Port Rush or the big course or anything like that. I don't know. Maybe it was the mix of format, the mix of sort of kind of letting your guard down and the weather that we had, or understanding that putting less pressure on yourself with four clubs in the bag and a putter. But it felt like you were playing Royal County now, not the big course, but that you were on that same piece of land at least. And there, even at some instances, it feels more dramatic. Maybe that makes it worse architecture. I don't know, but it feels certainly more dramatic on some tee boxes and some ridges and some dunes. I know when you get around like 7, 8, 9, 10, obviously this gets even closer to the sea than the big course, which also is obviously runs up the coast at the start there. But on 10, 11, right, that 11 tee box, you are on the beach essentially right above it. So that is really cool. I just think it's an amazing opportunity to add, what do you have, 2 hours? You have 2.5 hours. As Andy has suggested, it is not like just take your wedge and putter. It's a full course. I took my driver as one of the five clubs, sort of goaded, like I goaded you into an extra pint. You goaded me into taking the driver and trying to play bully ball with one of my, and I used it a fair amount, not a ton, but I used it.
How do you think the bully ball went in general?
I think it had its hits and misses. You know, there were some holes where it worked out. But, you know, I'm not good enough that, you know, five iron off the tee is as unreliable as the driver.
You weren't the one that got bageled, so.
That's fair. Andy went the bagel boy. He's now known as the bagel boy. Zero skins for Andy.
Listen, I had a rough day out there. I've been struggling with the golf swing. Today, what day are we on? We're 8 days removed from this marathon. Today, I felt like the first time the ball was coming off the club, like with some speed. And I think I was at my low point on the Ansley in terms of my golf game. I got put into a blender. The ball was going left off the start. I had no clue where the ball was going, which is a very, very bad feeling on that golf course. No clue how it was going. I'm not a mutter. I don't play in the rain well. I'm an awful rain player. I get all this anxiety about the grip. I feel like the club's always going to fly out of my hands. So then I grip it a little harder, and then I get guiding the ball. It was awful. I played horrendous. This is what a great golf course can do, though, and a great golf experience, especially one that you aren't expecting. I played horrendous, like maybe one of the worst rounds of golf I've played in the last 5 years, and I had so much fun, and I remember so much of the round, and I wasn't ever mad. Even when Matt, who, you know, he's feeling a little under the weather right now, even when Matt was just rubbing it in, he was trying to incite me. I was calm as a cucumber because I was just enthralled by so many of these holes. What is one hole, Cameron, that would stand out? Also, before that, tell me your worst shot, the worst shot you hit of the round.
On that round, do you have one in mind? I can't. I hit the ball okay, I feel like.
I would say that my worst shot was on the, let's see, the sixth hole.
Well, I was going to bring up the six because I think we were 0-4 for balls in play on the six off the tee.
I mean, I have so many to choose from. I chose my hybrid. For a long time in my career, I took the hybrid out of the bag because I always felt like they just had a bias to go left. And I haven't had this problem in a long time. But the hybrid was just, it was going left, left and left all day. So I could choose from like 8 tee shots that as soon as the ball came off the face, I was like, oh, that's gone.
Yeah.
So I could choose any number of left tee shots. But six and eight were like low points, really low points for me, I felt like, in the round. I feel like it got a little bit better, but those points, I was wondering if I was going to run out of golf balls.
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing about this course and hopefully it brings American tourists or whoever plays it, like, you can go out and hit every shot, but it makes you play a little differently. That, like, okay, don't hit driver and try to actually play golf. Whereas Americans are probably hitting driver everywhere, every great course they go to, even the good ones, even the bad ones, you know, mid handicaps. Hopefully it makes you just not hit driver and lose 10 balls. Because it's really fun to play golf. That sixth hole we just talked about, we're all four out of play. I was like, screw it, I'm out of play, let's have fun. I put one down next to Matt. We were like 75 yards out. I just putted it right up along this ridgeline. And I wouldn't do that probably in a lot of instances, but ideally it forces like the Americans that used to just want a hammer driver, often maybe to their detriment, to actually not and try to experiment and play a little different golf.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to in the pro shop, they recommended basically not to put any woods in the bag. But I mean, not only should you not miss this course, but I also think you should play it like that. I mean, I think you should take out like 5 clubs and just play the course with 5 clubs.
I was thinking, like, I think it's a fascinating course with a full bag. You're not going to hit a lot of drivers, but there's a couple spots where you might want it. You might want the horsepower. But like, the course is so scaled down. I think it's actually like fascinatingly strategic in the sense of like, If I had a full bag, there'd be tees. It'd be 300-yard hole. I would hit a 6-iron off the tee to set up a wedge. Because if you play it with your full bag, it is so much about just like finding the right spot to set up your next shot. It is, you know, most people think of strategy of like bunker here, you know, play close to that, and it sets up the angle. I don't think the corridors out there are that wide. But what it is so much about is like throttling back to the right number to find a little bit wider of portion of the fairway and set up a wedge there. I think if you played that course regularly, apparently there's like a pro game out there every month.
Money game, yeah.
A big money game. Yeah. But if you played in that, like in a real competition, you would be hitting a lot of different clubs off tees to set up wedges into greens. And I think it's fascinating. It is a fascinating course in that regard. But back to your favorite hole.
Well, I was thinking about this right after we played it, and I couldn't pick a favorite hole. But there were a few that stood out. I think we all really liked four. Four is the first one that sort of three green you play up to the top of this central ridge, and then four you play from there sort of along it. And then like a lot of the holes, they sort of, there's be little drops between like in the fairway, and then this green is just set up like on this like minuscule little just like dune where you've got this like 15-foot false front, and then immediately over the green is like 15 feet straight down behind it. And the hole's only, it's 267. And, you know, without driver.
Absolutely drivable, though, with a driver.
With a driver, it would be. But what's so fun is without it, you have to lay up, essentially. And then you have, I mean, I think I had a 7-iron that I brought. And you've got to hit this, like, 100-yard 7-iron to this tabletop green, essentially.
I hit mine 60 yards left off that tee. And I was great. I was in another fairway, and I loved it. I was like, I had a great angle in, which was interesting. I hit it so far left, it was good.
Yeah.
That is also like the start. So I think the course 1 and 2 and 17 and 18 are kind of on sleepy land. Yeah. The least interesting land of the course. And if you played those two holes, you might be like, well, like what's going on? And then 3, you hit this little rise. And 4, it's like that's when the song starts to hit. Right, if you're comparing the course to a song, like that's where you're like, okay, here we go. And from there through really like 16, it is a wild ride. So that fourth is really cool too, because it kind of is like your first table setter of what's coming up. Brendan, what hole stood out to you?
I think 9 is super fascinating. I believe it's a newer one, right? It's a McKenzie new. It's sort of a stunner. It's an interesting, it plays along the biggest dune, I think, in the entire course, right there in the middle around the left. The green is, you know, it's got some of the outside scoops and contours around it. It's a stunner of a tee shot, right? And it's, I don't know, do you want to be an idiot and try and draw something up to the green that maybe more than you should and probably go through the fairway or overcook it into this mountain of a dune to your left, or try it, or just kind of hit a mid iron out to the middle of the fairway and then a wedge or another, you know, a low iron, a high iron, you know, high lofted iron. So I really enjoyed 9. It's just sort of a stunner of a tee shot, and it's right there. So that's a hole that stood out to me. There's so many though. There's like you said, it felt like it was 6,000 yards. I want to be clear here. Like, this isn't a par 3 course, like short course, wee course, whatever you want to call it. I don't know how you define a short course. This isn't like a quick little pitch and putt that's attendant to a resort. It is a full, I mean, it's a full deal. I don't know how we define short courses. That's a separate podcast, I suppose, or you know, a subjective thing. But it's not a par 3, to be clear.
Yeah, is it? For me, my favorite hole, I think I go with 6. It kind of moves from left to right, and it's just got these unbelievable contours. like that come right down the middle of the fairway, and it kind of, it'll kick your ball right or it'll kick your ball left. If it kicks it left, you want to be left because that the green is tucked up. It's like a in a little nook. Like imagine if you worked out of like your like half bath, and you put a desk in there, and that's what that green. The green sits into this like little nook with dunes around it, like so perfectly. It's this tiny little green that repels balls every direction. And it's like honestly, that's might be with like the way the weather was. That might be one of the hardest golf holes I've ever played, and it's 338 yards. Yeah. And the contouring in the fairway is just amazing. I think like that's some of it. There's like another hole, the eighth hole, the par four. I thought it was really cool because you could either play left and low and you're safe, or you could play high and right, which was a little bit more difficult. But then everything with that green set up into it, and there's this ridge, and that's where Brendan putted a ball. He putted it 60 yards, but he could just run it right down the ridge. But if you're left, like you have the angle of the green is set really hard, and it and the false front then goes on a diagonal, and it's like, okay, this is a really hard wedge shot. Or if you're on the right, everything helps you. So there's just so many. I mean, I could rattle off like 10 holes. And I think something like I've been critical of Martin Ebert's work at Liverpool, and I might be a little bit critical of some of his work at another golf course that we visited recently. That being said, I think his work here is like really good. Those new three holes are absolutely stunning, and they're really, really cool holes. And the golf course, like that golf course, I don't think the golf course would be as cool without those holes. And they are like absolutely spectacular holes that I will not forget like any time in my life.
Can I ask you one final question here? This isn't disingenuous. Like we were going around in absolute pissing sideways rain and just having a ball, and we loved the course in real time. Do we think it's helped or hurt by being sort of adjacent and paired with, you know, arguably the number one course, a great course? Would it be even more dramatic if it was just this short course somewhere out on its own and you walked onto this, or is it sort of amplified its status by being on the same similar kind of land and you're like, oh, of course, is it standalone work and maybe it would pop if it was just on some other coastline or piece of property? Is it helped or hurt or neither?
Yeah, it might pop more, but I think what I sort of realized, because it's not a course that I'd ever really heard about or like seen pictures of, but as we got like halfway through the round, I was like, this is like an unbelievable 36 hole facility that nobody really talks about the other 18 holes ever. And it's like incredible. Like you should not skip that golf course if you go to Royal County Down. Like it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I think I want to say, in today's era, like in the last 5 years with what social media has done, say 10 years with discovery, I think it's hurt. I think over the course of it existing over a long period of time, it's unbelievably helped by being attached to Royal County Down, because I think there's an era of golf where it would have been like, well, that's not like a real golf course. But now, in today's era with like social media, I think if it was on its own, it would stand out so much. Like if you get a time at, say you get a time at Portrush, but you don't get a time at Royal County Down, I would absolutely stop at Ansley on the way up to Portrush.
It's cheap. It's not super crazy. It was like £65 or something was the greens fee.
Yeah.
Like without a doubt, the best value on this trip that we've seen. Without, like, it's not even close. Like, £65, I would pay, in America, that place would cost, I don't even want to know how much it would cost. I think it also should be a model for short courses everywhere. I always, like, I love Pinehurst. I really like the Cradle. I think it's a cool concept, and it's a tiny little parcel of land. But, like, the Cradle shouldn't be the model of what a short course is, the cradle with this course and sand and the sandbox, people should look at all of these courses as like what a short course can be, because this golf course is so much more thrilling because you hit so many more clubs and there's such variety in the way you play it. You can play it. I get kind of bored of the cradle. I'm not going to lie. I like playing it, but I wouldn't be able to play it every day because it's all 70 to 100 yard shots. And I realize, like, I want this caveat of like the cradle's on a tiny, tiny footprint compared to the Ansley course at Royal County Down. But Royal County, the Ansley course is 4,500 yards. It's not on a big footprint. It is a small, but what's awesome about it is that you could hit every club in your bag if you played it. You could legitimately hit every club at that golf course. And I think that people shouldn't think short courses are exclusively 70 to 80 yard par threes. And I feel like that's the direction that golf is going with short courses. This is a short, I think this should be considered a short course. I think anything under 5,000 yards. I think Tom Doak's always talked about on the podcast he's joined with on Fried Egg, the Yoke with Doak series. He's always talked about wanting to build a precision course. To me, that felt like a precision course.
Yeah. I mean, it's utilizing the land that's there, right? Like, I think the holes, shrinking down the strategy to fit the features that exist out there. Like, it's more severe and sort of choppy than the big course. But for that reason, I think holes of that length fit perfectly on land like that.
Yeah. And again, I think that we shouldn't reduce golf to like a short course golf to wedge and putter. Short course golf should also include, if you want, driver, if you want 3-iron. Like, that's the beauty, is I would never go to the range. I would go to that golf course. I think you'd get so good because you're having to hit shots under the gun with repercussions. You might lose a lot of golf balls. It might be costly.
Yeah, it's a hard golf course, especially when it's blowing 35, but that's okay.
I think it might be the hardest course we've played.
Yeah, it might be.
All right, that does it. We will be back. We'll see when we're back. I think it depends on how much Brendan jams us going forward. It really depends on whether or not he puts us out for, you know, and have rough days. But we've got, what do we have to talk about left? We've got, I mean, Port Rush, which was awesome. Port Rush was awesome.
Port Stewart, maybe the town of Port Stewart, Port Stewart Golf Club. Port Rush. We're going to play a few others up in the Port Rush area. We might have a guest or two from Northern Ireland. Local shop owners, maybe local major winners. We'll see. But a lot more coming on the Explorations podcast feed.